to the cross. And we sing about that all the time. And we cry and we feel sentimental about it. We sing the old rugged cross and we talk about it like it was a precious heirloom. And Peter even, who was there, by the way, at the crucifixion, Peter who was there to see all of this and to know all of this and to know Christ, my friend, writes about the precious blood of Christ, that we were not bought and we did not become Christians and we did not become saved because we had gold or silver or because we could bargain with something, but we were saved because of the precious blood of Christ, because God was willing to turn his head, and he did, because Jesus cried from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not only did he go through all of the torment and pain and suffering and horror and disgrace of the crucifixion, but my friend, he went through the loneliness with the weight of sin on him. He who had never sinned, never once sinned, never came close to sinning. He who had never sinned was bearing the sins of old Eddie Kendall and the whole world, every sinner that ever lived and ever would live. My friend, those sins were on his back. Those sins he was carrying to Calvary. And you say, why in the world did it have to be that way? Well, he asked that himself, didn't he? Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden and he began to pray and he prayed three times? And the first time he prayed, the second time he prayed, the third time he prayed. And my friends, each time came the same answer. His question was, can this cup pass from me? Is there any way that this cup could pass away from me? Is there any way I could be free of this? And three times the Heavenly Father said to him, this is the only way. This is the only way. My friend, it came down to it that man was under the thumb of an evil spirit called Satan, of an evil empire that was ruling and destroying human beings and convincing them to sin and to rebel against God. And my friends, all of that, Jesus said, saw it coming. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I'd like to see the future. We like to talk about going to a psychic and them seeing the future. I don't know if you could take seeing the future or not. I don't know if you could live with seeing all the things that's going to happen to you and all the things that's going to go on in your life, the heartaches and the misery and the sickness and the suffering. I don't think you could take that. I'd as soon not know about it. It's bad enough to know it when it happens. Amen? And so Jesus can see all of this coming, and he asks, can this cup pass from me? And finally he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My mind just races back across the centuries to when God first created man. And God made a garden, and in the garden he placed the man. And with the man he placed the woman, and they start their family, and they begin to grow. But my friend, they have a problem. They listen to the wrong spirit. They listen to Satan. And Satan crawls and slithers into the garden and convinces Mother Eve and then convinces Adam, and they sin and turn against God. And you have to realize, they've never seen bloodshed. Never a drop of blood has been shed. Never a little animal has died. Never a person has died. They've never seen anybody dead. And they've never seen blood, ever. And yet, when the Lord had told them, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Satan said, nah. You're not really going to die. Oh, isn't Satan like that? Still telling them same lies today, that it won't matter. Well, it does matter. And my friend, the sad thing is that when they did this, then the angel of God came with a flaming sword and drove them out of the garden. You know, God would rather lead us. He would rather lead us in still waters and green pastures. And here God drives them out of the garden, and the angel stands with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life so that they cannot go back in. And here they are standing, Adam and Eve, naked and undone, without God, without the glory of God, without the light of God, without the fellowship of God. What a lonely thing that must have been for Adam and Eve, standing outside the gates of the Garden of Eden and looking back through the gates at what they had lost, and standing there alone and naked and undone without God. And then God himself shows up. You say, that's a good thing. Yes, it is. But God he always shows up with mercy. But sometimes he also shows up with judgment. And God showed up that day, and the angel came with the sword. And what are we going to do? We've got two sinners here who have lost their glory, who have lost what they had with God. How are we going to redeem these? Or can we redeem these? Or can they be redeemed? Is there any hope for them? Well, my friend, they've never seen it, but they're about to see something horrible. They've never seen terror before. They've never seen fear before. And yet they watch as God Almighty grabs two animals, we don't know what kind, rips them apart and sheds their blood, and their blood spills on the ground. And God builds an altar and teaches them how to build an altar and how to make fire. And they place upon the altar the sacrifices that's there. And the blood runs down over the rocks and into the ditches around the altar. And they watch as God Almighty destroys the first two animals that's ever been killed in the history of the world. Destroys the first two things that have ever been killed. They watch as God, how hard it must have been to Adam and Eve to watch God rip those animals apart and take their hides and sew them into cloaks for to cover their nakedness and give them instructions. You will die because of your sin. However, there's a way to stave off the judgment of God. There's a way to get out from under all of this. You say, what is it? It's that somebody has to sacrifice themselves. Somebody has to give their life and sacrifice their blood that the sins of Adam and Eve might be covered, that the sins of Adam and Eve might be done away with. And as they stand there in horror, as those animals are torn apart, as that blood spills down, and they're given instruction from time to time, Sabbath days and holy days, they're to come together and they're to build an altar. And on that altar, they will lay the sacrifice that they've been given. And in order to do that, somebody's going to have to take a knife and split that little animal's throat and catch the blood. And when they catch the blood, they're going to pour it on the altar, and it's going to cover their sins. Later on, God brings that even closer when he establishes the tabernacle and the temple, and he sets it up, and they come to the house of God, and they come to worship. And you say, what did they do when they came to worship? They brought a lamb with them. They brought a bullock with them. They brought a pigeon with them. And as they came and brought the little animal to them and held it up before God, you say, how are they going to stand before God? They can't stand before God. They're going to be destroyed. If you stand before God in the brightness of his glory and you have sin on you, honey, you're gone. The judgment of God, the glory of God will destroy what you are. So they can't do that. But as they look at that and they see that, they begin to learn. When that priest comes in once a year, he goes into that holy place. And as he goes in that holy place, he carries the blood of the lamb with him. And when he gets in, he sprinkles the blood between the cherubim, their two angels, with their wings touching. And underneath that is the mercy seat. And that is a box that holds the Ten Commandments and other artifacts that God has told him to put in there. That is a box, my friend, that's called the Ark of the Covenant. And God's visible place on this earth is between those cherubim, Now later on, when John and Daniel saw heaven, they saw the cherubim standing around the throne of God. But at this time, they didn't. You see, what keeps the priests from being destroyed? What keeps God from breaking forth and destroying all those people? Because he has the blood of the Lamb, and he sprinkles the blood with hyssop, takes a branch of hyssop, sort of looks a lot like broccoli maybe on a long stem, and he dashes the blood onto the altar, and that blood covers. But you know the sad thing was? They went home and the judgment of God had been stood off, but they were still sinners. They were still lost and undone without God. How sad that was. And once a year that happened. Once a year something else happened in the other part. That happened in the spring. In the fall, there was a time when a goat and a sheep came and stood before the priest, and there was death, and they took the blood and they put it on the sheep and covered the sins of the people, but they sent the goat into the wilderness. He's called a scapegoat, and he carried their sins away. Nobody ever wanted to see him again. Nobody ever wanted to have anything to do with him, because when they sprinkled the blood and they prayed the prayers, they sent him out, my friend, and he carried their sins into the wilderness and carried them away. Sad thing was, same time, same station next year, guess where they're at? They're at the same place, offering the same sacrifice, sending out the same scapegoat, spilling the same blood, and they have to do it all over again. And again, and again, and again, my friends, they do it. And yet they're not saved. They do it again, and again, and again, and they're not any closer to God than they were. The judgment of God has been held back. The wrath of God has been held back. But they're not changed. And then came the day that all of this made sense. Because God, I don't know why God chose the time he chose, but it was the perfect time. It was this due season for it to happen. I don't know why he chose all of the things he chose, but he's God. Whatever he says is fine. And my friends, came the time when the divine Son of God stepped off of the throne of glory in heaven, walked down across the Milky Way, stepped over the star-spangled banners of heaven, and what came in to the womb of a virgin, lived a human life, died a horrible death on Calvary, resurrected on the third day and ascended into glory, and came and offered himself before God the Father Almighty, with his nail-scarred hands and feet, with his spear-riven side, he comes before the Almighty God and offers himself for all of us. And my friend, it wasn't the rituals that saved us. It wasn't the religion that saved us, but it was what Peter said, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the price. Now guess what? One spring day in 1961, this little sinner boy right here got up in the back seat of that Holiness Church down the holler here and walked up the aisle, knelt at the altar. And I asked God to save my soul, and he did. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and he did. And when I walked out the door, my friend, I was not accumulating sins anymore. They were gone. My sins were under the blood. The scapegoat had carried my sins outside the gates of Jerusalem and died on a Roman cross. The lamb had died for my sins, and God had provided a lamb for my sacrifice. And I did not have to die because I could not have resurrected. I did not have to live because I could not have done it. But God gave his son, that old Eddie Kendall, could live again, could walk again and talk again and not have any sin. And you know what? Praise God, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, the old hymn says. And my friend, you say, well, you haven't been perfect since you were saved. Oh, no, I haven't been perfect. Not even close, not even close. But I can tell you something, I've been perfectly saved. There's nothing wrong with the sacrifice that saved me. There's nothing wrong with the Spirit of God that came to me. And my friend, my sins are gone. My in-laws may remember them. My neighbors may remember them. My relatives may remember them. My fellow workers may remember them. But I can tell you, when I walk before the throne of God and they open the book and they look down there and it comes to a place that says, Eddie Kendall, my friend, there's no sin there. Hallelujah. There's no sin there, not because I've never sinned, but because His blood once and for all washed away my sins. And I can sing, what can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that flows down Calvary's tree. My friend, your sins are gone. Don't let anybody bring your sins back. Somebody's going to remind you of some stupid thing you said or did 50 years ago. You say, that's ancient history. We don't even read that book anymore. We don't even look at it anymore. Our sins are gone. We don't have any sins. That way I stand before God, and when God looks down from that throne in heaven and sees me, Jesus stands beside of me and covers me. And my friend, I'm free. Thank God from the burden of sin, free from the guilt of sin. And my friend, when this life is over and all of the dust is settled, I'll be singing with the Savior in that promised land above. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, we come into your presence this morning, thankful for the precious blood of Christ. Thankful, Father, that you have saved us and redeemed us and bought us with the price of your blood. Father, I thank you that it's not the money of this world, the gold or the silver. Father, I thank you that it's not the things of this world that we could lay hold of that saved us. But God, it was your precious Son's blood. It was his precious blood that saved us and that redeemed us. And Heavenly Father, I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God will touch every heart and every soul. And Lord, as we sing these closing hymns, lift our faces and voices and hearts above the sadness of this world and into the glory of the kingdom of God. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.